Hi there, I'm Sue Elvis from the blog Stories of an Unschooling Family. Welcome to my podcast. This is episode 94. And today I want to share a few more of my blog post stories with you. What I'm doing is starting at the beginning of my blog and sharing the stories in order, but I'm not sharing every single one. I'm just picking a few out here and there that I think might be of the most interest. So I hope you're going to enjoy those. I've got a couple of stories about typical unschooling days. There were typical unschooling days when I had younger children. But before I get on to blog post stories, I just want to share a few other things with you. For example, this morning we filmed a new music video for my daughter Imogen. We got up very early. It is late autumn here in New South Wales, Australia. Getting cooler. Daylight saving finished a week or so ago. So that we had to get up a little bit earlier than we did last time in order to get to our location before sunrise. So we had a struggle out of bed this morning. I think about 4:45 I got up, headed in the shower, got dressed, tried not to disturb my husband, Andy. I think he was quite happy to stay in the nice warm bed. He didn't have to go out in the cold because it is getting colder. We all took our coats this morning. We went to the Botanical Gardens where we have filmed the last three music videos. A beautiful place, about half an hour's drive away. There are lots of different areas with their own attractions, and so that we have been able to use them to make three and now four videos look very different. It doesn't look like we filmed them all in exactly the same place, even though the four videos have been filmed within 100, 200 meters of each other. When we got to the gardens, it was just getting light, and we were quite surprised because the area was blanketed in a thick mist. It gave an eerie atmosphere, a soft, dreamy look maybe, to the videos. We had mist last time we went down there. I think that the gardens must be in some kind of hollow. As we came down a steep hill towards the gardens, we could see the mist down below. Imogen sang a hymn. I think it's called Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. I get those words in a bit of a muddle, but if you know that hymn, I think those words are close enough. It was a request that Imogen was happy to sing, and it's an a cappella arrangement. I think she arranged 48 voices into the one song. As I said, it was cooler this morning, and by the time we'd almost finished filming the video, that cold had sort of seeped into us. Our fingers were starting to hurt because of the cold. Now, we've got a long way to go for winter. This is only just the start, but it brings back memories of last year where we went out every 3 weeks to film a music video in very, very cold conditions, cold winds. Imogen always says she wonders why we all come with her, why we get out of bed so early in the morning, and why we put on 10 layers of clothes, and we're willing to stand there in the cold wind and film for her so that she can have her videos. And I guess we just do that because we love her. It's a lot of fun as well, though it would be nicer if it was a lot warmer. So I'm telling you about this video because by the time this podcast is uploaded and you're listening to it, that video should be on Imogen's YouTube channel, Imogen Elvis. I would like to invite you to go over there and have a look at it. The other piece of news I want to share with you is an update about my Evernote workshop. I wonder if you are putting together some family, personal, and homeschool journals. If you're following along with my blog posts and videos, learning a few new tricks, a few new ways of using Evernote to make attractive records, attractive family journals. I hope you are. By the time this podcast is uploaded, it's funny doing things a couple of weeks ahead of time, there should be quite a few videos on YouTube and a few blog posts that will go with those videos. So far, I've done an introductory blog post and video just talking about the aims of the Evernote workshop, what I would like to do with it. I've written and spoken about the basics of Evernote, how to set up our Evernote notebooks, what options we have, how to make a note, a notebook, and what we do with tags, why we have tags. I've also recorded a video, which I'm hoping to make public today when I finish recording this podcast, so it'll definitely be up there by the time you listen to this, is one about how many notebooks do we need and what sort of notebooks should we create. And then there's a video that I think that a lot of people would be interested in. Well, certainly a few people have stopped by and expressed interest in this idea. And that is how to turn Evernote notebooks from digital records into paper ones. How do we export our Evernote notebooks and how do we print them? So I've shared how to do that, so I hope that's helpful. And if you have been sort of sitting on the fence thinking about whether you want to go the digital way, keep digital records with Evernote, perhaps you're a little bit worried about not having paper records, maybe this video will reassure you. It will show you that you can have both. You can have digital records and paper ones too. It's harder to turn paper records into digital ones, though it can be done. But it's very easy to do it the other way around. So please watch out for those videos and the corresponding blog posts. But on to today's stories. I wonder how you got on with last week's stories. Did you enjoy them? Were they helpful? Were they interesting? I would love you to stop by my blog or my Facebook page, Stories of an Unschooling Family, and give me some feedback about them. That is, if you have a little bit of time to do that. Now, the first story that I want to share with you today is called What Next? I think I wrote half a dozen blog posts at the most, and then I got stuck. I didn't know what to write about next. I thought that I would have the blog with the shortest history in all the blogosphere, because, yes, as I said, I got stuck. I didn't think there was anything more to say about unschooling. How wrong can one person be? Here I am, 6 years later, and I have written hundreds of posts, made videos, and, of course, I'm making podcasts too, heading towards my first 100 podcasts. So I don't think there was anything to worry about all those years ago when I sat down and thought, I haven't got a single idea about what to write about. So I'm going to read this story to you and then we'll talk about it. What next? I will admit it. I am stuck. I don't know what to write about. I created my blog to tell you some stories about our journey to unschooling and all about Susie Andres's books. And I feel I have done that. I really enjoyed writing those stories too, and having Susie visit, and everyone comment and share. But now I am sitting here thinking, what next? Could this be the blog with the shortest history in all the blogosphere? I think I could tell you about our day, our unschooling day, but is that really of interest to other families? Just in case you have hopped over in search of an answer to the question, what do unschoolers do all day? I will round up our day for you. Maybe this will give me time to think of something more important and of greater interest. Here goes. We started our day with morning prayers at 8 a.m. I like gathering together as a family before we all go our separate ways. It gives us not only a chance to pray together and read the Bible, but also an opportunity to talk over everyone's plans for the coming day. Who's going where and when? Who needs a lift where and when? Who's home for dinner? And to find answers to important questions like, what shall we have for dinner tonight? It's so cold here today. After prayers, the girls and I headed for the family room and the gas heater and some maths. Now, I know some unschoolers don't do formal maths, but we're all maths lovers. We actually enjoy the challenge of working out the problems. I'm that kind of person. And maybe my girls are too. You know, the kind of person who gets a thrill from getting a correct answer. I love the black and white nature of maths, and I am fascinated how the right answer can usually be obtained by multiple methods. But I digress. The girls use interesting online courses which they can handle with little input from me, so I'm fairly free to switch on my Kindle and enjoy. After math, Sophie wrote some emails and had to think about spelling. She said, I don't think I need to know how to spell the word thong. It's a word I'm never going to use. I hate thongs. I can't walk in them. This started a discussion on thongs, and I told a story of my younger days. My grandmother gave me a pair of Indian leather thongs, and I very foolishly took them with me on a university field trip to Spain. One sunny morning, I decided the thongs would be the ideal footwear for the beautiful weather. A few hours later, I'd changed my mind. I was totally fed up with trying to keep the thongs on my feet while walking along, as if I didn't have a care in the world. I really could have thrust the thongs in the nearest garbage bin and walked barefoot. So we decided that the big question was, why can some people walk in thongs, but we can't? Are Elvis' feet different from everybody else's? Not having any other people around to do some experiments on, we moved on to reading. The girls love listening while I read. They snuggle up under blankets, together with the cats, and enjoy. At the moment, we are reading Ballet Shoes and Ramona the Pest. They saw the movie recently. And a historical fiction book about the Eureka Stockade. Morning tea time. Check our emails time. Time for a bit of blogging. Imogen said, Now you're an XX blogger, Mum. I'd been considering deleting all my blogs, but my mind was changed. You need to write a blog post. We want to write posts as well. So for the next hour and a half, we typed away, each at our own computers. Cameras were sought out, photos downloaded and compressed, and added to blog posts. Then everyone sat back for a short, restful, and satisfied moment before returning to their computers to check out each other's blog stories. Lots of compliments and a few tactful suggestions later, I suddenly noticed it was lunchtime. We prepared sandwiches to the accompaniment of all the funny bits out of the movie Singing in the Rain, which we watched together on Monday evening. Do you want cheese? No, no, no. Or would you rather have peanut butter? Yes, yes, yes. And then some amusing tongue twister thing about noses and roses. It's amazing how easily the kids pick up and remember things from movies. After a quick lunch and clean-up, we gathered our library books and headed into town. Imogen had a 2-hour house-cleaning job, and while she was busy, I took the other girls to a library 2 towns away that we rarely visit. A whole library of fresh books. We were in paradise. We staggered back to the van with 20 books each, and then it was time for the afternoon tea we'd packed in our basket. We discovered a playground where I could park the van alongside the equipment. This allowed the sensible, soft people, Charlotte and I, to stay in the van and read our newly borrowed library books, while the tougher ones, Sophie and Gemma Rose, ventured out into the wind to play on the swings and get some exercise. We collected Imogen, who had newly earned money to add to her growing Buy My Own Car fund, and headed home. Walking through the door, we were greeted by the delicious smell of red wine and beef casserole, which I omitted to say the older girls prepared first thing this morning. Imogen and Charlotte cooked the polenta and vegetables in between practicing the piano and completing musicianship exercises. The rest of us did a quick tidy-up. Andy arrived home from school, and the whole family gathered around the table for dinner. This evening, everyone has dispersed. I am writing. Andy is preparing lessons for his class for tomorrow. Some of the girls are reading, and some are drawing. And what the boys are doing is anyone's guess. No sensible person would want to enter the boys' bedroom. And that is our day. I omitted all the less impressive things, like how the ironing is still not done, and how I still haven't sorted out some household paperwork or organized dental appointments or haircuts. Now that I have described a typical day, what next? It didn't work. I still haven't had a brilliant blogging idea. I guess I could always tell you more about Susie's books. I haven't even mentioned the second one, A Little Way of Homeschooling. Yes, you must hear about that. It could change your homeschooling life. I will think, and maybe next time. I will put a link to Susie's books in the show notes, because if you haven't yet discovered them, you might like to order them and read them. Yes, Susie is a very special friend of mine. Her books are invaluable. Now, what comment shall I make about this story? Oh, I've got one here at the end of the blog post. I've got an update. Here's a quote from it. Now, I know some unschoolers don't do formal maths, but we are all maths lovers. I think I was deceiving myself. You already know this if you've read some of my later posts on maths. Yes, I do like maths. I do like getting the right answer. I do like the black and white nature of maths, so I have discovered that maths is a creative subject. It's not all black and white. But I deceive myself about my children. I wanted to think that they loved maths, and that they were doing the maths purely out of choice, which wasn't true. And I think I said something about how they were doing interesting online maths courses. Oh, well, we all fall very quickly sometimes. The carpet gets whipped out from underneath us when we least expect it. And only a few blog posts on from this one, I was mulling over the subject of how my kids hated maths, how the interesting online maths courses were contributing to their hatred of maths, and how I had to do something about it, because if I didn't do something about it, my kids would start to say, I'm no good at maths, and they would come to dread doing it. But I'm going to share that maths story later on. That's where I'm going to leave the maths for this blog post for the moment. I just wanted to point out that sometimes we say things, but deep down, we're not being honest with ourselves. Maybe we're not honest because we don't know how to deal with it. Maybe we want to give a different impression to other people. But I think it is quite all right to make decisions which you feel are right at the time and then to change your mind later on. We needed to do maths at this particular time. Later on, we moved on. We were ready. Or more specifically, I was ready. Oh, the other point about that blog post is the word thongs. Here in Australia, thongs are footwear, flip-flops. We don't call them flip-flops, we call them thongs, and I hope as I was reading that story, your head didn't get filled with images of underwear. I hope you did realize what I was talking about. We had a great discussion about that word in the comments section of this blog post. Caused a lot of giggles. My next story is also one about typical unschooling days. It is called A Typical Unschooling Day with a question mark. Is there such a thing? So here goes. Is there really any such thing as a typical unschooling day? Each day can be so different from the one before. Each day is a new adventure. Each unschooling day has its own delights. That's one of the wonderful things about living an unschooling life. So perhaps the typical unschooling day I described in my post, What Next, wasn't really typical at all. Perhaps I should tell you about yesterday. The day did start the same as our What Next day, with 8 a.m. prayers. But then, when we asked the who's going where and when questions, I discovered both the boys were going to be working away from home all day, so I didn't have any sister-sitters, no one to look after the younger girls, while I took the older ones into town for piano lessons. So at 9 a.m. I was climbing into the van with all four girls. Sophie and Gemma Rose didn't mind coming along. They had plans of their own, plans they'd been waiting for an opportunity to put into action. Can we go to the shops while we're in town, Mum? We want to buy wheels for our shoes. Wheels for shoes? I had no idea what Sophie was talking about, but I agreed we'd go and have a look while we were at the shops. While Imogen and Charlotte are having their piano and musicianship lessons, I usually take the opportunity to do some shopping. I have learnt that I have to make the most of every trip into town. We found the wheels. I never knew they existed, but Sophie led me straight to the right aisle of the department store. She knew exactly what she wanted. She checked the price and consulted with Gemma Rose. They decided the wheels were worth buying, and after fumbling in their bags for the money, they paid for them themselves. Don't you hate coming home to find the washing still in the machine? I have a wonderful son who never fails to hang out the washing. He can always be relied upon. Except for yesterday. Duncan didn't have time to do this job before he left for his day's work. I must admit I considered turning a blind eye and leaving the clothes hidden in the washing machine. I could quite easily have moved straight on to a cup of reviving coffee. But my better side won out. Imogen, Charlotte, and I very bravely headed out into the icy wind with the overflowing basket of wet clothes. The younger girls were instructed to have hot drinks ready for us for when we returned. Of course, we had to take some time out for morning tea. It had been a hard morning of music and shopping and hanging out clothes, and we needed a break. Then, of course, it wouldn't have been kind not to have assembled the shoe wheels for the younger girls. They were so eager to see how they fitted onto their sneakers. And naturally, I had to let Sophie and Gemma Rose try them out. And as it was a new activity, it took them a while to get the hang of balancing on their heels. This all took quite some time. Not that I noticed how fast the minutes were passing. I was in a different, timeless world. I was out there in the blogosphere, catching up with all the news. The older girls also had their computers on their knees. We answered emails, did a bit of blogging, and before we knew it, lunchtime had arrived. Lunchtime already? Someone broke into a Disney song, and there was music and laughter as the sandwiches were prepared. We gathered around the table, and Charlotte brought up the topic of Troy. Do you think Helen was still beautiful by the end of the 10 years of war, Mum? Perhaps the Trojans wanted to hand her back. Here's Helen. We don't want her any more. She's no longer worth fighting over. Take her away. They couldn't have done that. That might have looked like they were giving in. They had to fight to the end, whether they wanted to or not. We continued talking about the Trojan War before discussing the problems of being beautiful. Then I had to rush out the door. I had a rare invitation to afternoon tea with a fellow parishioner. An invitation just for me. I left the girls washing dishes, knowing they'd find plenty to keep themselves busy for a few hours. What did they do? They practiced the piano and prepared for a singing lesson, baked a celebration cake for their dean's medalist of a father, cooked a brand new recipe for dinner, spicy meatballs, read their library books, drew some dragons and horses using an art book as a guide. When I returned, the house was tidy and the dinner was almost ready to eat. We were sitting around the dinner table. Andy told us all about his day at school. Then he said, "What did you do today?" "Nothing," Charlotte replied. I frowned, and Imogen hurriedly said, "Charlotte, we did heaps. We had piano and musicianship lessons, and we practiced again when we got home. Mum and the other girls did the shopping. I learnt how to assemble wheels for shoes. We read and we wrote and brushed up on our computer skills. We did domestic science and household management and art and Greek mythology and exercise. And we prayed and read the Bible and talked and sang. And all that adds up to much more than nothing." That was yesterday. What about today? Our adventures today included online maths and a maths tutoring session, Australian history, Mozart, first aid, electricity, teeth, reading and more reading, writing and more writing, cooking and exercising and praying and... So back to the question, is there any such thing as a typical unschooling day? I think there is. A typical unschooling day will contain lots of enjoyable opportunities for children to learn and to grow. The day will contain enough time to sit and chat and mull over interesting questions or have a lively discussion or just enjoy being together. There will be shared mugs of hot chocolate and meals enjoyed together. It will be full of music and laughter and fun. An unschooling day will be full of real work, like writing for blogs, or emailing, or cooking dinners, or performing in a concert, or doing a St. John ambulance duty. There will be plenty of time to pursue individual or family passions and interests, like drawing dragons, or writing stories, or crocheting fingerless gloves. It might involve going out into the community to have piano or singing or swimming lessons or do the shopping. There will be hundreds of books and movies and games and time to exercise by bouncing on a trampoline or playing indoor soccer or some other physical activity such as scooting or rolling along on flashing wheels. It will be a day of helping and listening and sharing and learning. But most importantly, a typical unschooling day will be filled with love and trust and peace and real joy. A couple of things in that story. Just looking to see when it was published. I haven't got a date on it, but yes, it must have been during the winter time with the icy winds. Going and filming the music video this morning in the early mist and feeling cold. Yes, it's going to get a lot colder yet. My third story for today is also one about what goes on in a typical unschooling day. When I first was investigating unschooling, I really wanted to know what people did. I wanted to hear all the nitty-gritty. I thought at first that all we had to do was step back, get out of our kids' way, and they would do amazing things by themselves. But what I found was that my kids didn't do anything much at all. And this will be explained further in this story. The story is called Doing Nothing. Again, a question. Doing nothing with a question mark. Many years ago, when Felicity was 5, we went to our first homeschooling conference. Our speaker was Jill, an experienced unschooling mum, and she was pure enthusiasm. She walked around and around the room, talking at speed, flinging her arms this way and that in emphasis. Jill told us how children are eager to learn. They love learning. They don't need to be taught. A parent's role is not to be a teacher, but a facilitator. She illustrated her point with an example from her own family. One of my children loves frogs, so I took her to a talk at the museum. The speaker was an international expert in the frog field. He was passionate about his subject. My daughter came home. She borrowed every library book on frogs she could find. She wrote and she drew. She covered the walls with pictures of every kind of frog. So many frogs. I didn't know that many existed. Wow. She's now a frog expert. She knows far more than me, far more than most adults, and all I did was drive her to the talk. I soaked it all up. I went home dreaming. Would my children be frog experts? What projects would cover our tables? Perhaps there'd be hundreds of different butterflies adorning our walls. It didn't matter what Felicity took an interest in. I was sure she'd be expert at something. I waited some more. Felicity didn't seem inclined to research anything. She didn't ask me to take her anywhere. She didn't draw dozens of pictures of frogs or butterflies or anything else. She didn't set up any experiments. In fact, She seemed inclined to do nothing interesting at all. She didn't appear to know what she wanted to learn about. How could I be a facilitator if she didn't let me know what she was passionate about? I couldn't understand how unschooling could possibly work. Perhaps my children weren't of the right personality type. Perhaps Felicity was the sort of child that had to be pushed to do anything. Looking back, I think I forgot something important. I forgot that children need a rich environment in order to learn. How can they know what they're interested in if they don't know the possibilities? I think about when my children were babies. I read all the baby parenting books, and I knew all the latest research. I knew I had to provide a stimulating environment to maximize my child's development. I drew human faces and hung them where my babies could see them. I sat each baby in a chair in front of a frame. Every day I searched the house for new and interesting things to tie to that frame, things they could touch and suck and feel. Soft socks, cold spoons, a bristly toothbrush, a long ribbon. I took my babies swimming, sat them in the sandpit, sang to them, read to them in an animated voice, showed them bright pictures, danced with them, played peekaboo and a dozen other games, told them the names of everything we saw, carried them around and included them in the real world. And then, when they got to the age of 5, I thought it was all up to them. I forgot to keep bringing the world to them. I forgot to take them out to the world. I forgot to keep on providing new experiences for them. I soon realized what was missing. I enrolled Felicity in different lessons, and she experienced swimming, gymnastics, physical education, music, brownies. Maybe I went overboard a bit at first. I don't know if she really needed all these different classes. However, she discovered a lot of things she had no interest in whatsoever, and a few things, such as music, she loved. I took Felicity to the library and we borrowed dozens of books, both her choices and my suggestions, and we read together, and soon she wanted to learn to read. Occasionally, I organized an outing to a museum, the beach, the bush, to friends' houses, the shopping center, the park. I made sure we had a good supply of art and craft materials. Sometimes we tried a specific craft project, but mostly Felicity experimented with all the supplies. She drew fairy after fairy after fairy, and then, for a change, decided to paint fairies instead. She made book covers for little books she enjoyed creating and wrote little stories about fairies. Besides the childhood music education lessons, I bought a range of CDs, and we listened to music and danced and sang. Felicity wanted to write. She made up poems, told stories, wrote letters, and I didn't worry about the spelling. She spent lots of time playing, and we talked. We talked about everything and anything. I guess what I'd been doing could be called strewing. Sometimes it looked like I was steering Felicity's education by pointing her in directions she hadn't realized existed, but she was, at the same time, discovering passions of her own. Our walls did not fill up with pictures of frogs or butterflies or anything else, but soon we had dozens of books filled with poems and stories. We had a daughter who loved music and reading and who asked questions about everything and was eager to learn. And I discovered that an unschooling parent doesn't sit back and do nothing while her child goes happily off on her own learning adventure. No, unschooling can involve real commitment and involvement, a lot of hard work. But is it rewarding? Of course. I found this little article Felicity wrote for a homeschooling newsletter when she was 9. Hi, my name is Felicity Kate Elvis, and I am 9 years old. I have 2 brothers, Duncan, 7, and Callum, 4, and a baby sister, Imogen, 1.5. I have always learnt at home. I would like to tell you about how we homeschool in our family. One reason we homeschool is that we think learning should be fun. We also like spending time with each other and being able to learn in our own way. Mum doesn't make any plans for us each day. We don't have a timetable. We just have a fresh new day to fill with reading, writing, learning, and doing. I usually start the day by writing a poem, because all our thoughts are fresh in our heads when we get up. When Imogen wakes up, I do clarinet practice. Then we do our maths, because Mum thinks it's important. We spend the rest of the day learning whatever we want, like drawing, writing, reading, doing experiments, and making things. I especially like reading. In the evenings, Daddy reads us a few chapters of a book. Dad makes different voices for each character and brings the story alive. I do lots of cooking, and Dad's a great cook. Mum is good at handicrafts and sewing, and she shares all these skills with us. There is still plenty of time left each day to play, watch TV, visit friends, and do whatever else we want to do. We love homeschooling. Again, I've got an update on my blog post. My children no longer learn maths because Mum thinks it's important. Instead, I look for resources that might capture my children's interest in this subject. They learn maths because they have a need or a desire to learn, rather than because I insist. Unschooling is a continual learning experience for me, as well as for my kids. Yes, that tricky subject of maths keeps reappearing in my early stories. I don't suppose it'll be long before we get to that one, where I decide that we are no longer doing structured maths. But that's for another day. I think that that's enough stories for today. So I hope that everybody has enjoyed these blog post podcasts. If you do like them, please leave some feedback on my blog or on my Facebook page, Stories of an Unschooling Family. If people do like them, I will make some more. If you are in Australia, I hope that you are enjoying the school holidays. Back to normal in a few days' time, which for us means that my husband, Andy, will be going back to school. Of course, we won't be. But other things will get back to normal, like our music lessons and maybe my podcasting schedule. Maybe I'll have an update of what we've been doing over the holidays for you next week. Some of my latest unschooling ideas and thoughts. So until then, I thank you for listening to this podcast, and don't forget to trust, respect, and love unconditionally.